And he's been dealing with anti-Semitism past. And I think in this particular one, he's going to get into anti-Semitism modern. And so we're looking forward to that. So let's welcome one more time Olivier Melnick.
So it's 45 plus 9. You already took him away. All right. Okay. All right. Well, it's good to be back. For some reason, I'm scheduled right before the meals, so I don't know if that means anything. But I'd rather be before the meal than after the meals. So I feel for Jeff. You know, he has to keep you awake. So we're gonna pick up where we left off, and I have one. One video that I'm going to try to show you possibly in somewhere in the middle at some point if we have the time. So what I'm doing now in this session is picking up right after the Holocaust and all the way to what's happening today. And hopefully you'll see that. I mean, this is pretty serious with what's happening today. I can tell you right now, without exaggeration, we are pretty darn close to the 1930s and 1940s. As it pertains to how the world is viewing Israel. Back then, it was in Europe. Now it's global. So we'll talk about that. So what is my first slide? Okay. So the postmodern era from 45 to today, you know, post-Holocaust, post-war, modern anti-Semitism has a lot in common with classical anti-Semitism or historical anti-Semitism. As far as the goal is concerned, it was, is, and always will be the complete destruction of the Jewish people just because they're Jewish. Remember the definition this morning? Anti-Semitism is the satanic and irrational hatred of the Jewish people characterized by thoughts, words, and deeds, or actions. So, by the way, if you were not here this morning, this is one of your first session of mine, I will give you, if you sign up on the back table, your name and email, I will give you all of the presentation in a PDF format, so you won't have to take notes, because I put a lot of notes, I read from the notes, and I put a lot of information on my slides, and I don't want you to waste time taking notes. I'll give it all to you. No charge. So now, by the mid-50s, a new anti-Semitism was forming, or possibly classical anti-Semitism was repackaged, I believe it's a better way of saying it, and morphed into a socially acceptable ideology. Now it has new boundaries, new methodology, and an expanded source. The boundaries are different. The boundaries of classical anti-Semitism were European for the most part. The cancer of Jewish hatred was a localized cancer spreading as far as the European train network system. This is a map here of the European train network as far as it went. And this actually is part of the explanation of why the Holocaust was so unique. I have people tell me all the time, Olivier, the Holocaust is just one genocide out of many. Agreed. It's no different. Yes, it is. And I'll tell you why. The Holocaust is the only genocide in the history of mankind where the perpetrators went out of their ways to go back and get the Jews and bring them back to their death. Any other genocide up to today, whatever people group was being attacked, affected, killed, they had a chance to leave. They left the country, they became political refugees in another, war refugees in another country, moved across the ocean, whatever. They had a chance to survive if they just got out in time. The Holocaust, you look at the train network, and anywhere the trains would go, Nazi Germany would send those trains as far as they could go to get the Jews back and bring them back to Germany and Eastern Europe. So much so that some scholars believe that Hitler lost the war because he did not have enough train cars and resources for the campaign of Russia, to go after Russia. He was so possessed with getting the Jews that he utilized all of his resources to do that. And another note, this is free, this is not in the PowerPoint. Another note, please, if you ever hear somebody say that Hitler was insane, stopped them and said, no, he was not. He was evil, because insanity exonerates responsibility. Big difference. Hitler was not insane. He was evil. He was quite smart, actually. He was not insane. He was evil. So, boundaries are different now, because now what was taking place in a concentrated area of Europe or greater Europe now is global. The new boundaries extend to the whole world. The cancer has metastasized. It was localized, now it's metastasized. With the advent of satellite communication, the internet, when it works. You notice how I looked at Pastor Andy right there? That was directed at you. You know that. The internet, the social networks, modern anti-Semitism now reaches the four corners of the world, and the growth of its grip is rapid and exponential. Outside of Eretz Israel, there is really no safe place for Jewish people anymore. It's safer in America than a lot of other places, I'll give you that much. But even here, it's becoming very dangerous. You would not catch me, maybe in Texas, maybe, but you would not catch me in some parts of the U.S. walking with my yarmulke on the street. You would certainly not catch me in France walking with my yarmulke on the street. Absolutely not. I grew up in France. I left in 1985. The first 27 years of my life, I spent them in France. I can tell you, my friends, the Paris of today is not the Paris I grew up in. This is very different. Very different. So the methodology now, you're going to see, and you already see it in the news, a role reversal. The new methodology has turned the victims into perpetrators and the perpetrators into victims. Jews are painted as the new Nazis of the Middle East. Look at this cartoon, which is, it's actually pretty, not old, but it's 2009, which was 9 years after the Second Intifada. So things keep going in that direction of pointing the finger at the Jews. You've got Never Again, which is the Jewish motto. You've got the Jewish camp prisoner with the Star of David on his outfit, you know, stuck on the barbed wire in the ship of the German swastika. And then next to him, you got another guy who appears to be a Palestinian from Gaza in the same shape. In other words, what the Germans did to the Jews, now the Jews are doing to the Palestinians. And that's, of course, the political correct and politically correct and social justice Kool-Aid, then you accept the Palestinian narrative. But if you compare that with facts, biblical facts and political facts and historical facts, it's the opposite. But this is what we're getting now, a different methodology when the victims are the perpetrators and the perpetrators are the victims. It's completely switched. First, only the Jewish people were targeted. Now Israel is also in the crosshair of modern anti-Semitism. Additionally, any political move made in Israel might have global repercussions on Jewish communities anywhere on the planet. And I put there again the names of what we're being called today in Israel. You know, actually, people would even call me this in America. Occupiers, colonizers, apartheid people, bloodsuckers, human rights violators, murderers, new Nazis in the Middle East, all that stuff. It's all the titles that the Jewish people are called by in 2022. And it is true that if something happens in Israel, any Jew anywhere in the world is not safe. I remember there was significant was happening in Israel a few years ago, and I go to Paris twice a year for board meetings for the ministry, and was walking on the streets of Paris one afternoon just by myself, and I got caught into some kind of a march on the streets, like a protest, and it was a pro-Palestinian protest where people were screaming, "Jews back to the ovens." In Paris, and it was no more than less than 10 years ago. I forgot the date because I've witnessed so many of those. I just can't keep up anymore. But so it's no longer like, you know, a Jewish person is not safe anywhere except in Israel because they care about their own people. But it's becoming very, very dangerous. Anti-Semitism has been renamed. It's anti-Israelism or anti-Zionism. Oh, I'm not anti-Semitic. Oh, no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm just anti-Zionist. Can you explain the difference to me? Yeah, ask the person, they can't just explain. Well, it's not, you know, I'm not against the Jewish people, but I'm against the fact that they're colonizing Palestine, which is not their land, and on and on and on and on. It's nonsense. It's anti-Semitism, anti-Israelism, and anti-Zionism. It's the same thing. It's hatred of the Jews. And it, of course, we know from this morning, let me repeat this again, because you'll hear me say more than once probably this afternoon, it comes from Satan. Why? Because Satan, I'm getting ahead of myself, but Satan is a very, very astute Bible student. He knows the Bible, he knows the story, as well as you do, probably better in some areas. And he's scared. He better be. Amen? So the source has also expanded. The source of anti-Semitism has always been the same. There you go. I was ahead of myself by one slide. It is Satan who loves what God hates and hates what God loves. Satan also knows that when Israel calls upon Yeshua at the end of the tribulation, his career of hatred is over and he is in no hurry to relocate for retirement. So, he knows that when my people, and I think it's the next slide, yes, Zechariah 12:10, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication so that they will look on me whom they have pierced and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. When that happens, and I believe that's going to happen at the end of the seven-year tribulation. And by the way, Pastor Andy did a whole long, everything he does is long, a long, but this was actually a compliment. On his YouTube channel, go subscribe to his YouTube channel. He just did Zechariah 12:10, what, last week? I think so, yeah. It was really good. When the Jewish people call upon the one of their peace, they call on Messiah, that's when Jesus returns. Now, this is not the rapture. The rapture is going to come and get us, doesn't touch the ground. And then we're going to go back with him to be, like we heard this afternoon, for 7 years in heaven. Then we come back, second coming. Guess what? The second coming is going to happen when Israel calls upon Yeshua. And say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is you, comes in the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter how many people get saved, not saved, it does matter. But the catalyst, the spark for the second coming of Yeshua is Israel looking up and saying, we blew it. We missed him the first time. Please come, Messiah, come now. And that's the second coming of Yeshua. So, what's interesting is that Satan knows that, and he wants to stop it, because as soon as that happens, or soon after that, his career is over, and he's not the boss of hell. He's one of the first ones thrown in hell for eternity, suffering for all eternity with no relief. He's not going to be in charge of hell like Hollywood would like you to believe. He's going to be suffering just like anybody else. So, you can have those scriptures for reference, Revelation 21 through 3 and verse 10. I want to keep moving here. So Satan's agenda, I've already told you that. See, I'm way ahead of myself. I'm going to finish early again. Satan tries everything to accomplish two goals. That's important. One, turn the Jews against Yeshua to stop them from calling on him, so that he cannot return. And if that doesn't work, he's got plan B. Turn the whole world against the Jews. To destroy them. To kill them in case plan A fails. So we're going to turn all the Jews against Yeshua so they won't call. Unfortunately, there are people like me, you know, I mean, we become believers. And then, so Satan doesn't know for sure, because Satan doesn't know. He knows the future as much as he can read in the Bible. But he doesn't know. He's not all-knowing like God is. So he's got to prepare for his final attack and his final plan. Is in case the Jews don't all turn against Yeshua, I got to make sure I destroy all the Jews. The safest way is to destroy them all. And that's what he's trying to do. So turn the Jews against Yeshua or turn the world against the Jews. With those two, he should be able to keep his career forever. But we know that's not going to happen. We've already heard that scripture couple of times, I think, today. I think from both Pastor Andy and Jeff of Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37. If you can count the stars, the moon, and measure the moon, the sun, the earth, and everything, then God will forsake Israel. We know that's not possible. That's God's way of saying that's not going to happen. So we know it's not possible. But Satan is going to try no matter what. You know, the bully, when the bully decides to attack somebody, they know they're probably not going to win, but the bully will continue to be a bully until he stops. But our job is to fight the bully, even though we know he's going to come back and he's going to do more. We still have a call to expose the lies of the enemy. So that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit more as we continue. So I want to show you where Satan is subcontracting his hatred into so many different groups. Liberalism and secular anti-Israelism. According to the liberal worldview, anti-Semitism is not even on the agenda, as it has become acceptable to be anti-Israel. It is claimed that you can be anti-Israel in the name of world peace and all without being anti-Semitic. And of course, here you have a liberal mother with her two children wearing wind jackets that are a design and a shape of the modern flag of Palestine. I say modern flag of Palestine because I don't have it in my PowerPoint, but the flag of Palestine up to the 1948 era, when Israel was reborn as a nation, was a white and blue rectangle with a yellow Star of David in it, flag of Palestine. I have it in a French dictionary from 1939. It's amazing. That is not the original flag of Palestine. Maybe I'll put it in my PowerPoint for tomorrow just to show it to you. It's crazy. One little trivia, piece of trivia here. Liberal haters of Israel do not know how to spell. Because she said Jews are terrorists. Not terrorists. I had to find a way to make fun of her. I'm sorry. But you know what's tragic? You know what's tragic on this picture? The children being indoctrinated. They have no clue what they're doing. But they're being indoctrinated. And this is not even the Middle East. This is probably streets of, I don't know, L.A., San Francisco, New York, wherever it is in the U.S. It's pathetic. It's very sad. Now, you've got a campus intifada. Intifada means uprising. And there's been an intifada in the 80s. There's an intifada in 2000. And I almost thought that we were getting into a third intifada when we had a lot of terrorist attacks during the month of Ramadan last month. It's too early to tell, but it's still going on, so it could become the third intifada. So one-sided pro-Palestinian agenda gets heavily promoted by groups like Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, or Jewish Voice for Peace, JVP, or the various Muslim Student Association. So here's, and I have it on my phone because I lost the slide and I had to call a friend who has that slide to email it to me on my phone. So I'm going to read it to you because it's absolutely crazy when you think about it. You're going, what is he talking about? Okay, so here it is. So I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood here. Now, how many of you know what I've heard of CARE? The Council on American Islamic Relations, right? Advertised as moderate Islam in America, right? And they're really pushing that agenda as much as they can. Well, let me give you, let me show you Muslim Brotherhood motto here. God is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, dying in the way of God is our highest hope, God is greater. That is the Muslim Brotherhood's motto, okay? So Muslim Brotherhood is bad news. We all would agree, right? Well, Muslim Brotherhood was founded in 1928. Okay? All right? I could tell you more about it, but I don't have time in this presentation. Muslim Brotherhood founded Hamas in 1987. More bad news, right? Brotherhood and Hamas founded CARE in 1994. Most people don't know that. That CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, was founded by the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas working together. You know, probably going in the back room somewhere and say, how can we work together to bring some kind of a group of us in America to make the stupid Americans believe that, we're going to get off YouTube if I say this, so I got to be careful, believe that we, you know what I'm talking about, are people of peace. And here it is. So if we get off YouTube, I'm sorry in advance. But the truth has to come out. So now It's on campuses everywhere. I just told you about, the previous slide, liberal campus intifada. Look at this. It's in over 200 campuses in America and growing. And I've just listed some of them. All those, I used to live in Irvine, California, and used to go every year in March for a week long. It was called, I forgot what it was called, Something Fest. It was a promotion of pro-Palestinian speakers, and anytime there was something Jewish that they wanted to do on campus, they would be booed and kicked out, and they would invite speakers against Israel, pro-Palestinian. It was terrible. And I went there. I tried to speak once. I was booed off. There was a lady who was a Holocaust survivor that they had indoctrinated into believing that they were doing good things. It was absolutely crazy. And there was just one university in Irvine, University of Irvine, UCI, and I used to go there for all of their events. It was pretty bad, but it's present on university campuses, and a lot of people don't know how to defend their own faith, let alone defend Israel. So that's very very sad. Who's heard of BDS? Boycott, divestment, sanction. The boycott, divestment, sanction. Friends, this is very important. This is everywhere in the world. Everywhere in America, it's also very prevalent in the church. You need to know about BDS. Boycott, divestment, and sanction. BDS. Boycotting Jewish businesses is not a new thing. Kristallnacht, November 9, 10, 1938. I spoke on that this morning. Was some sort of a boycott and pogrom at the same time. And we can even go earlier than that in Jewish history. But BDS is something that is going on all over the world and in America. And so those are pictures of, the time of Kristallnacht. You see those Juden written on the window. Careful Jews, careful. The Jews are here. And BDS, I think I want to play, I might want to play that video right now. This was taken... I think this was taken like 3 or 4 days ago, not in the Middle East, but I believe it's in New York. I can't identify exactly where it is, but I'm going to let you play it if you can. He's taken over my computer. I can see it. You can stop. I don't want to go anymore because you see the hatred in this woman. You see the hatred. She is on the street somewhere in America. International BDS. It's actually Al Quds Day, and then she's talking about BDS. How we have to boycott Israel because they are the apartheid country. They are the colonizers. This is happening in America. We're not talking about on the streets of Gaza or Judea and Samaria. In case you don't know what Judea and Samaria is, some people call it the West Bank. I don't like to call it the West Bank. I call it Judea and Samaria. But so boycott, divestment, sanction, I already showed you that. Boycott was officially reborn in 2005 as the modern BDS movement from the work of Mahmoud Abbas and Omar Barghouti. Mahmoud Abbas, you know who that is. He's the current leader of the Palestinian Authority, a very ethical man. He's in his 17th year of his 4-year term. So you know he's very ethical right there. And he did his PhD dissertation on Holocaust denial. So that's a good subject. Omar Barghouti, by the way, is a Palestinian who is saying that we should boycott everything about Israel, and I would invite him to turn in his PhD from Bar-Ilan University in Tel Aviv, because his degree is from an Israeli university. So he should turn him in. He should turn it in. He should not keep it. So it's just that's the problem with the BDS movement. So the BDS movement became a thing during the anti-racism Durban conference in South Africa, Durban, South Africa. It was a conference against racism, and the entire conference spoke about how bad Israel was to the Palestinians. 80 to 90% of the conference was spent on that. It was supposed to be a global conference to fight racism. And there's been three of them, 2001, 2009, and 2011. Each one was worse than the previous one. But there's a lack of consistency in BDS, and it's very hypocritical. BDS promoters, people that say we should boycott Israeli things, they really don't mean it. Because if they really meant it, then they should not use a cell phone. They should not use a computer. They should not use some of the medical discoveries we've made that were made in the last several decades. And the list is long. But that is not what they're talking about. Don't buy Jaffa oranges. Don't buy Sabra hummus. Those are the easy things you can do because, yeah, it's not going to hurt you. Not using a cell phone and a computer or a thumb drive. Not that. That's very hypocritical. You know, I have no problem with boycott. I have a personal list of things that I boycott. Musicians, actors. I'm not going to give you names here. If you want, I'll give them to you in public, in private. Directors, movie directors. I mean, I just don't watch their movies because of something they've done that is really just not sitting well with me. So I just, I'm going to boycott it. I don't tell people they should. It's just my personal boycott. But tell you what, in the case of that director that I will not mention, I started boycotting his movies probably 20 years ago. He's a very good director. I loved his movies up to, and I'm sure that after a certain movie that he made, I would have loved some of the other movies. But I have committed myself to not watch any of his movies because of that he did, and I have to be consistent, otherwise I'm a hypocrite. So if you want to boycott, good. We all should boycott. And I think we should start as Christians to boycott things and be more vocal about it and tell people, say, no, I don't buy this because of this. No, I don't support that because of that. We should but be consistent. Don't do it every day of the week except for Wednesday, because Wednesday, that food, I really boycott it, but on Wednesday I really like to have a little, So no. Boycott or don't, but be consistent. Be ethical about it. So boycott of Israel, which is a bad thing, the way it's being done. By the way, no other country is being boycotted. They say that this is the boycott of an apartheid country, and they compare it to South Africa. But no other country is hit like this. Boycott of Israel can be academic, cultural, political, economic, and artistic. So let's keep moving. This is not a friend of ours. This man, I can't remember his name. His name is Assad Abu Khalil. The real aim of BDS is to bring down the state of Israel. We have to thank him for being honest. But the problem is that he is a professor of political science in a Californian university. To this day, I checked. To this day. He's still there. And he's one of those who thinks that the Jews are responsible for everything, like you've heard this morning. Here's a tweet that he posted recently. Israel will, I am sure, have different medical procedures for Jews and non-Jews. Non-Jews will be put in mass prisons. Speaking of the virus and the vaccine. And so, by the way, there are people, more than enough, who believe that the virus was created by Jews. But the vaccine was created by Jews so that they could get money. Because remember, we're greedy. Remember, we got that this morning, right? And so they could get money from fixing the virus. It's crazy. Replacement theology. Well, we heard about it this morning, and timing is flying off. So I'm not going to spend too much time on replacement theology. But just remember that replacement theology is not biblical. A great verse that I love to quote to get people started to think is 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. The question I ask my friend is, wait, you know, if the church has replaced the Jews, why are they all listed in that verse? It doesn't make any sense. It gets the conversation going. And then you can go to the next level when you take every example of the word Israel in the New Testament, and there's a little over 70, and then you put the word church in there, and you see if contextually it makes sense. And you literally have to do theological gymnastics to make it work. It doesn't make any sense. But that never stopped. It's not stopping about two-thirds of Christians today, unfortunately. There's another thing that is even stronger and worse than replacement theology. It's Christian Palestinianism, which is replacement theology on steroids. I think the world expert on Christian Palestinianism is my good friend Paul Wilkinson. If you know who that is, he's a British theologian, and he wrote this book, For Zion's Sake, and I quote him, "Christian Palestinianism is an inverted mirror image of Christian Zionism. All the basic elements of a Christian Zionist eschatology are reversed, so that the Bible is seen to be Christian, not Jewish. The land of the Bible is Palestine, not Israel. The Son of God is a Palestinian, not a Jew. The Holocaust is resented, not remembered. 1948 is a catastrophe, not a miracle. The Jewish people are illegal occupiers, not rightful owners. And biblical prophecy is a moral manifesto and not a signpost to the second coming." That's a very powerful quote. And so Christian Palestinianism, replacement theology, and anti-Semitism are cousins. I mean, they're very tightly related. United Nations, General Assembly resolutions, 2019, 18 UN resolutions against Israel, 7 against the rest of the world. Not another country, the rest of the world. Okay, 2020, 17 Israel, 6 the rest of the world. 2021, 14 Israel, 5 the rest of the world. Is there a double standard here? Is there a bias? The bias is obvious because the facts are ignored. UNESCO, United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, recognized the state of Palestine as a full member in 2011, declared that the Temple Mount is a Muslim site known as Al-Haram al-Sharif in 16 and in 18. It is not a Jewish site. There's nothing Jewish about the Temple Mount. Now, the fact that it's built on the stones of the first temple, not important. There's nothing Jewish about it. It is a Muslim site. And declared that Jerusalem has no right to be Jewish, the Jewish capital, in 2017. Of course, this changed a few years ago, you know, when Jerusalem became officially, not became, but was recognized as a Jewish capital, but still not by everybody. Amnesty International, they started well a few decades ago. They are not a good organization anymore. This is, I'm going to read some of what they're saying, not the whole thing because it's too long, but it's in the notes. We have time. Armed conflict between Israel and Palestinian armed groups in the Gaza Strip may entail apparent war crimes and possible crimes against humanity. Disproportionate and reckless strikes by Israeli forces killed 242 Palestinians in Gaza. Unlawful attacks by Israel included targeted strikes on medical facilities and personnel. Now, this comes from like a 178-page report, and I have a link to it on my website, newantisemitism.com. That report has a lot more into it. Here we hear about the 242 Palestinians in Gaza. We don't hear about any casualties on the other side. Mind you, there's usually not that many because Israelis are really good at keeping their people alive. But also you see target strikes on medical facilities. It's possibly true. But you know why? It's because in Gaza, this is where they put their missiles. In schools and hospitals. But what they're not saying in that report is that every single time Israel is going to strike as a response, never as an attack, as a response. You know what they do? This is nuts. They drop leaflets from the sky to the whole neighborhood saying, tomorrow between 12 and 2, we're going to drop a bomb on that building. Get out while you can. Is this war? Is this the attacker? Is this the occupier? I've never seen an enemy do this to the other side. They don't want to kill the poor Palestinians. The poor Palestinians, who, by the way, need Jesus, just like my people need Jesus, they are being used by their own people in higher leadership. So Amnesty International is not a good... I will let you read the rest of it when you get the notes, because that's too long, but this is important. And you can get the whole report that came out, I think, like 6 months ago. It's really, really bad. So you have Israel and the Jewish people, and let's see some of the enemies of Israel. Liberals, Hollywood, Christian Palestinians, radical Islam, BDS proponents, United Nations. They're not showing up on the screen. Why is that? Wow! Thank you! That was good. That was not planned. Wow. What kind of a conference is that? European Union? Okay, now we're in sync. Evangelicals and Campus Intifada. All those. You put them all together and you get one thing. Like I spoke this morning, irrational. This is completely irrational. Where else could you get liberals and radical Islam, who have zero in common, two complete opposite ideologies, agree on one thing: the eradication of all Jews in Israel? Liberals and radical Islam. They don't agree on anything. You put a radical Muslim and a leftist liberal in the same room, it's not going to go nice, until they both talk about Israel, and then they go, just, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's absolutely irrational, because it comes from Satan. Look at this. And this is not an attack on the homosexual community. I'm not anti-gay. I just don't think that homosexuality is condoned in the Bible. That's clear. But look at this. Queers against Israeli apartheid. Liberal Christians, atheists, and radical Muslims are groups that are always on two extremes of the ideological spectrum, except when it comes to Israel and the Jews. Queers against Israeli apartheid. There's another group, it's the same group actually, Queers for Palestine. Do homosexuals know what Palestinian Muslim would do with them when they had a chance, when they're done with Israel? Do they know how they will be thrown out of a building? I don't get it. See, this is not queers against, this is not queers for Palestine. This is queers against Israel. That's what it is. Let's call it what it is. Anyway, it's just one example of the craziness. So, end times. This is the end time for me too. End times anti-Semitism blends classic anti-Semitism and the new anti-Semitism. 2012, I mentioned that this morning, I think, was something we know as l'affaire Merah, which is this man by the name of Mohamed Merah in France, in Toulouse. He killed seven people, including a rabbi and three young students at a day school in the south of France, in Toulouse. Like, just went into school and just took his gun. And at the time he killed them, he also had like a GoPro camera to film the whole thing. And he just killed whoever he could kill. And then he retreated into his apartment. And 3 days later, he was eventually brought down by the police, and he was killed. But that's the first time that we see that it actually made the news in a way that everybody was aware of it, that Jews are being killed again. And I think that is that is the main point of end times anti-Semitism that we are in right now. Jews are being killed again. That's why I say we are close to the 30s and the 40s, not by numbers, and but we're getting there as far as the intensity and the gravity. End times anti-Semitism is killing Jews again. Satan's machine of hatred against the Jews is moving full steam forward. Now, a little story. This woman on the left, some of you know who she is. I'm looking at you over there. Some of you know who she is. This is my mother, about 77 years ago. She passed away in 2019. My mother here is... So she's there, and she's also on the other side in the courtyard of the house where her father was taken by the Gestapo. If you look right there, you see the Star of David. the yellow star. She was wearing the yellow star. She was about 15 right there. And when her father was taken by the Gestapo, and the story, it's a long story, so I'll just tell you, he was taken by the Gestapo when she was 15. She was sent to the south of France to hide on the farm as a Catholic girl. On my YouTube channel, there is a movie that was on French TV, and I put subtitles on it. It's about 10 minutes long. You have to watch it. It's a documentary segment on Evelyn. If you type Evelyn, you'll find my mother on there. It's really a cool story. You should go see it. My mother, until 2019, lived in the same house that I grew up in. I was born, I grew up in on the outskirts of Paris. This is Paris, and on the right side of Paris, where the Red Square, we're not there yet. Okay, there you go, Red Square, there you go, boom. It works with the right hand, only with the right hand. No. Okay, so on the right side, you'll see a little square in a second. This is where, in 2015, the kosher supermarket attack, remember that? The Charlie Hebdo magazine, they killed 12 people, and then they went to the supermarket, and then took hostages. That supermarket, actually, if you look on the next map, which is 1, 2, and 3, number 1 is when the supermarket is, number 2 is where my niece at the time lived, 50 yards from that supermarket. And number 3 is my house where I grew up my whole life. And it's about maybe 500 yards. My niece was in the store 15 minutes before the man went in to take the hostages. On Friday afternoon, she was shopping for Shabbat. She went home, turned her TV on. Next thing you know, she's seeing this thing on the news, what's going on. And I'm in Seattle at the time, doing my own, watching my own business and getting an email, what's going on in France? And I turn on the French news, and I find out that, well, I know this place. I used to go to that store because it's right next to where I used to live, on the outskirts of Paris. And I'm watching the news. I'm seeing the whole thing develop. This guy took like 40 people. He ended up killing 4. And they're all, kosher supermarket on a Friday afternoon. This is definitely targeted, okay? The current president of the U.S. said that this was not an anti-Semitic attack. I don't know how you can say that. But I called my mother. Now remember, my mother, when she was 15, the Gestapo came and took her father in front of her eyes, and she never saw him again. He died in Auschwitz. My mother on the phone starts crying, and I go, "Mom, just stay home, lock the door. My sister lives not too far from her, so Brigitte will come see you when it's safe." And my mother starts crying, and then she says, "Olivier, are they coming back for us?" She was like 77, almost 80 at the time. I didn't know what to say. I said, "No, Mom, don't worry." It was pretty sad. It was pretty sad. So this is why I think it's getting really, really, really dangerous now. So the believer's response in the last couple of minutes, education. And I hope that I was able to do a little bit of that in those two sessions, and there'll be more tomorrow morning. Know the players, know the agenda, and know the ultimate goal, which is to destroy the Jews. Satan is behind it. So share your knowledge. Don't keep it yourself. If you find something useful, if you read books, some of my books, some of the other books or other authors on that topic, tell others. Tell your children. Please tell your children. If you're a teacher, professor, speak to your students. If you're a leader of a congregation, speak to your congregation. This is not on TV, this is not advertised. Most churches don't even know the vast majority of what I shared with you today. They don't know. A lot of them don't care. Don't get me started. Support Israel. Attend events in your area that are connected with Jewish things, Israel, on campuses, or celebrate Israel's Independence Day, which we did in a way here because we're doing this on May 14th. Speak up. Confront revisionism with facts and with the Bible whenever possible. Stay away from character assassination, just for the sake of saying this guy by name, he's bad. I mean, maybe in a private conversation, but character assassination doesn't take Christians anywhere. It's gossip, it's bad. But expose people. The best way to expose people is to say, "This is what this person said." Make sure it's really their quote. "This is what this person said. I want you to think, is this in line with the Bible?" Okay? It's going to beep on me, but can I take an extra 2 minutes? Yeah. Fight BDS. I'm looking at this thing. It's like there's smoke coming out.
Fight BDS.
Buy, here's the believer's BDS. Okay, boycott, divestment, sanction. Buy Israeli products. Defend Israel with the truth. And sustain Israel in prayer. That's our BDS. Now, let me tell you. A lot of people come to me and says, I would love to buy Israeli products. I don't know. I mean, how do I find them? Super easy. Go to a BDS website. Get to the tab where it says, this is what not to buy. They've done the work for you. They've listed everything. Now you know what to buy. It's the easiest way. And so bdsmovement.org. Go there. Don't support anything they do. Find the tab and you go look at, oh, I didn't know this was Jewish. Cool. You know, you're probably already buying some of that stuff. Did it beep? Yeah, it beeped. Yeah. Okay, I'm almost done. Okay, a couple of scriptures to finish here. Remember who we fight. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Remember who we also pray for. That's a hard one. But we can't, if you cannot cancel culture and you cannot cancel verses. It's there in the Bible. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I don't like that verse. But I have to believe that if it's in the Bible, it's for us to do something with it. And so we have to work on that. I know we have to work on that, all of us. But it's there for a reason. Remember who we serve. That's the scripture about in Jeremiah. That's just the God that will never allow for Israel to be destroyed. We've already quoted that verse 3 times, so I'm not going to reread it. Israel's hope. This also was quoted today, I believe. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from all the nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I cannot wait for that day. And I'm very excited because I know it's in the Bible. I know it's going to happen. And I know we have this to look forward to. In the meantime, we have to do whatever we can to bring as many Jewish people with us into the kingdom of God and to get them raptured with us before the great tribulation. And that's the topic of tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. God bless you.